Hogs Half Hour. I can't think anything that rhymes with husky, so I'm on the radio and not on the bus.
Husky's gonna tell you something now.
So the Olympics has started. Off it goes. Loads of events which we don't really care about. 200 countries. I mean, it's not really fair sometimes. You have like Angola versus bloody America in some event. You know, it's not well that bloody fair. I was actually sure that the Olympics is supposed to be an amateur event. Yes, amateur event where the contestants practice every day and are paid by the bloody governments of the land. That doesn't sound very amateurish to me. Not to mention half the sports are bloody professionals, like bloody tennis, football and basketball. It's not really amateurish, is it? But sometimes when I look at the at the Olympics, I just think over there it's just the biggest, there's a load of people competing in the biggest waste of time ever created. What are they all doing? Oh look, there's a person, a fat chunky woman with a moustache with the made up name of Fatima Whitbread. And she's throwing looks like a cannonball into some grass. Well, that's useful, isn't it? Just down the road. Oh, look, there's a bloke running. He's running up to a little whiteboard. And then he's doing a hop, followed by a skip, with the grand finale being a jump. Who the fuck made that up? What are you doing? What are you doing there? I mean, what is the point of that? Well, this man throwing a frisbee. Oh, brilliant. Oh, he's throwing a pointy stick. This little clown is throwing a cannonball stuck to a bloody chain. How was that useful at any point? Who made that up, in fact? That is a sport. What the fuck? Throwing a cannonball on a chain. That's a sport, is it? Why is that a sport? Looks like something some kids would do if you left them in a bloody scrapyard, which had cannonballs and chains in for some reason. Oh, look, that fella over there. He's got an impossibly long pole that's as bendy as fuck. Where the hell did he get that from? Well, no one knows. And he's going to use it to jump over that stick, which they've lifted up 15 metres in the air. What the fuck? Who? What twisted bloody brain malfunctioned little fart made all this shit up? There's all the different sports now. Like, there's curling, fucking archery, sailing, rowing. I mean, what? There doesn't really seem any rhyme or reason to it. Like, where's one dude in a boat, and the other bloke's just running really fast down a bloody lane. Yachting, he's in a boat on water. I mean, is that? Yeah, it's just all a bit weird having all these different things. They're not linked. Today I heard that they've applied to have crabbing in the Olympics. Well, why not? Let's have fucking bits of bacon catching crabs. I always like to watch the walking race, because you just get the feeling that you just think, I'm not impressed by this. You lot are holding back. Just fucking run! And they all look kind of really gay as they're mincing along, doing a fast walk. And it just seems counterproductive. Instead of walking fast, why don't you just run? Go on. And I would like, really, to see some kind of sex moves in the Olympics. Because that would be, you know, one of the ultimate viewing experiences. You know, you could be shouting on whilst a couple have sex, or fastest thrust, something like that. You know, you could be cheering on England whilst watching naked women and men, more the women me, but watching them, you know, how good would that, and you'd be doing it for your country. Yes! Could have longest sperm shot. I mean, why is that not a sport compared to throwing a stick is? You know? In fact, it reminds me of this film I watched, or maybe I dreamt it, because it sounds fucked up, so I might have made it up. But it was this sport of spitting, and this bloke had tried to, it sounds fucking weird, but it was spitting. These people had this young gun who could never become very good at it, so then he went to this professional who kind of trained him, became his mentor, and he like stopped him eating bad food and drinking coke or something like that. And I think what happened was this bloke before, and he had a past, as they do in films, where and the day before the spitting like Olympics or competition, he like burnt his tongue. Couldn't enter. Well, he could spit very far because he had a burnt tongue. And a lot of the film was about tongue stick technique. And I remember the film. He just had these slow motion views of this girl floating through the air into like a grand finale. It was just... I'm not sure whether it's a real film or whether I made it up. Because it sounds just too ludicrous to be real. But if it isn't real, it should be bloody made. Because it's bloody really funny. A swordsman such as me. That made her and leap out the bed. About to make sweet love to the missus. That made her and leap out the bed. I go through a vigorous warm-up. A few star jumps, stretches. That made her and leap out the bed. You know, you want to hit the ground running. Oh, God. Made her and leap out the bed. Mr. C was slagging off the old disableds again, saying something like, he was slagging them off because they get all the best parking spaces and stuff. You know, and he's just saying that he's just rewarding people for losing limbs. You know, here I am, a person. I haven't lost a bloody limb, an ear, or an arm, etc. But yet I have to park all the way back there. I mean, where's the justice in that? That's what he was saying. You think, he sort of has a point, but it's a bit harsh. It's not as if they just misplaced them. You know, they came in, and just, like, took their limbs off somehow, and then was like, oh, shit, where'd I put those legs? Oh, fuck, I've only found one, like a pair of socks or something. So I said to him, I said, oi, just leave the little freaks alone, all right? Stop picking on them, they look a bit weird. They're humans, mostly. They're more machine now. More machine than human. I'm kidding, I didn't call them freaks. I called them special people. I didn't call them that either. He was really saying, he's saying the Olympics and stuff, how do they, it's not really very fair. I've always often thought this. What is the definition of the disabled? You know, because obviously it makes a big difference. If you've got a leg missing compared to some bloke, you know, who's lost his ear. I mean, now what's that gonna? That's not gonna be a very fair race, is it? In the 400 metres. You know, and are mentally disabled allowed to enter? Because I mean, you could have someone who is mentally disabled, but he can run like the fucking wind. You know, he's against other people who are physically disabled. That's not, you know, the only thing is, I'd have to say that I'd make a rule that they'd have to be so mentally disabled that they'd, halfway round, they might forget what they were doing. Like, you know, if they were javelin in front, they'd just forget and throw it into the crowd or something. At a butterfly, to give the others a chance. Things also, can you go enter the Olympics if you've disabled yourself in order to enter the easier Olympics, as some call it? Because if you were a really good sprinter, but I mean, you're not the fastest in the world, you might think, well, if I can take something, disable myself a little bit, now, if ears count, I'd think about taking an ear off, and then you'd be racing against, you know, loads of injured people, basically. Yes, that sounds like a good move. You know, I think that maybe they should clamp down on that, because how many people entering the disabled, most definitely not called the Disabled Olympics. Tell you what though, wouldn't the Spaz Olympics for mentally disabled people, that'd be bloody entertaining, wouldn't it? It'd be like watching a jackass on track and field. Oh, I mean, it's mayhem. I'd love it. Keep your drugs free, cheats. We've got the mentally disabled Olympics. But there are some events you look at and just think, like, in the marathons, when you see those blokes come in, on wheelchairs, I'm always thinking, he's just sitting down. That's not fair. Cross, I could do it if I was sitting down. How easy would that be? All you would do is just train your arms. God. And plus, those wheelchairs, practically run on themselves. If they do want to cheat and sit down whilst rolling the marathon, then they should have to use the like real rubbish NHS ones so that we know that they've actually had to put in a lot of work to get there to the end. And also, that I'm not convinced that all the people can't walk. I think they should be mandatory pin in leg tests to test all the people doing the marathon that they are actually can't use their legs. And also, to make it more interesting, they should have pit stops. And change their wheels themselves. But you see some of them on the map, and they've got bloody cup holders. Come on. Hey, come on, cheeky. One cup holder and a magazine in there. I'm making that up. Alright, come on. See, what I would like to see would be Dwarf Olympics. Oh, how much fun would that be? I wouldn't get too near, though, because dwarfs are angry little buggers. They'll fucking bite your fingers. Don't never feed a dwarf. They will bite you. Gee, oof. They'll probably try and leap on your face and bite, punch, spit there. Plus, they're always up to no good. I know me met a dwarf, but I've seen a lot of films, and every time they are the bad guy. Always being mischievous. Like those little Oompa Loompas. turn your back on those bastards and they'll be doing, putting you in a chocolate stream or, you know, swapping your drink, the one that makes you float up into the ceiling. Trouble. But I'd like to watch them do Olympic events like high jump, long jump, it'd be great. Running. In fact, I'd make it legal for two dwarfs to enter an Olympic event as one person. See, I've been thinking about this though, but if they were doing the high jump, you can't just throw here, buddy, other half. You can't throw him over the high jump and that's it. You've got to go, you all got to go over. But then I was thinking, how would two dwarfs be better than one full-sized human? And maybe the hammer throwing, if you like held, one dwarf held the other one's legs and you get a bigger rotation. You'd have to remember though, not to let go of the other dwarf. Otherwise that'd be a foul throw if you went over the only one I could really think of was maybe cycling. And you could have them on a tandem. And also you could have one facing the way you're racing and the other one just cycling but facing backwards. So that anyone who comes near them, you can like hiss at them and spit at them and like call their mum names and stuff like that. Because I mean, you'd certainly have to brace yourself if you're overtaking a dwarf tandem, wouldn't you? That could. But then I was thinking, do tandems, two people cycling doesn't create twice the speed because you're still doing the same wheels. It would make it easier, but would it be quicker? Two little legs going. So I wasn't sure how, if it would actually be beneficial unless you had some awesome new system of each one pedaled a different wheel, but then surely this that can't work. But it'd be bloody entertaining, and I should bring it in.
Well, I remember watching the bloody Olympics. Bloody Olympics. Everyone running around in the heat. And none of them were thirsty enough to have a bloody drink. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'll have a little drink for you. We're watching the Olympics. They all run around. And there's one bloody English bloke. He's bloody brilliant. He can bloody run. He can jump for his pole. And he'd be running the bloody hurdles. He'd climb over them. And he had a lovely moustache. And we were all like, go on, moustache. Go on, moustache. And he was bloody close. And this other bloke was running bloody next to him. And he didn't have a moustache. So we were going, go on, moustache. Go on, moustache. And the bloody moustache won. And we went, yeah. And we had a drink. And then I don't really remember much more of the Olympics after that. It was good. Bloody good. Bloody moustache.
This is only the head and leg of a very big mosquito.
Vampire bats.
Killer ducks.
This is the strange community of the hostinator which interests me most.
I was thinking about the Olympics and, you know, how they give us heroes. Modern day heroes. You aren't really that heroic in when it comes down to it, but you know, there's not much that you can unite the nation cheering as they do some physical activity better than anyone else from any other country. But it brings you these kind of mythical figures, magical in some senses. I think maybe because you're younger and you just kind of hear them, you're not sure, but people like Fatima Whitbread. They had a whole nation of people cheering on Fatima Whitbread. I mean, if that is not an incredible name, I do not know what is. Well, she's an incredible person. Big moustache. Awesome bowl haircut. And a physique that most men would be proud of. She was a catch. They were cheering her on as she threw a big frisbee or heavy ball down the thing. Tessa Sanderson. What a legend. Javelin thrower maybe, you know, these are names though which you know, they sound made up. They sound as if they come from the mists of time, like they might have appeared in Lord of the Rings for all I know. I mean, in fact, if Saruman had an army of Fatima Whitbreads and Tessa Sandersons, he could have well have easily won that war. You know, the might of men would fucking wilt as soon as few thousand Fatima Whitbreads come charging at you, you'd just fucking leg it. You wouldn't be hanging about. Yeah, you know, there's other lead like Daley Thompson, Jeff Capes, Steve Backley, you know, these are all legends. We all love now, not really quite sure what they did. But we all cheered them on for just a brief 2 weeks. Then went back to ignoring them, like we should. But also, there's now bits that we just know about, like Paula Radcliffe. We know that doing a Radcliffe is just failing in a most miserable, embarrassing way and quitting early on because you're not going to win, like a big bad loser. See, that's all she's famous for now. And doing that weird kind of run, it looks like she's having a kind of fit. Yeah, and there's Steve Backley as well, another bottler. Here he is, he throws the longest bloody throw all year, comes to Olympic, he bloody can't throw it far enough, and some bloody other dude, Zan Zelezny, throws it further. And Colin Jackson, and I'm a, you know, always second, that's what we remember you for. Not that it's an amazing feat to be the second fastest person running in a straight line for 110 metres whilst jumping hurdles every 10 metres. You know, that is a great feat. But we all look at it and go, nah, you could have won it. God, what's wrong with you? What do you mean you can't make your body run physically any faster? And we all think, well, if my training, you know, I could always try a little bit extra. In our pathetic version of Olympics. Yeah, we could do that. Like, we don't know what it's like, but we'll just judge that. We'll judge poor Colin anyway. Like, well, I'm tired on the football pitch sometimes, but I give it a little burst of energy. Why don't you just do something like that? Colin. Oh, actually, remember Kelly Holmes. I know she won 2 gold medals, but all I remember about Kelly Holmes is finishing on the finishing line, putting her arms up, and then her eyes almost popping out of her bloody head. You're thinking, fucking hell! And she almost stops on the line, but you're just thinking, ooh, hope they don't drug test her. Look at her, for God's sake. Flopping over the line like some butch lesbian with eyes on sockets dangling out. I mean, that's an enduring image. From Friends, can fat acceptance be photographed? A large toilet roll. Unzipped his trousers and sat down to inspect the merchandise. To enjoy it.
Right, so the Olympics, it's in full swing. When I think about the Olympics, you look at it and think, look at all those people just pissing about, wasting their time, fanning around, bloody running around a circular track, sprinting really quickly the line, throwing stuff about, little men wrestling other little men of exactly the same weight within a 5 kilogram difference. It all just seems like one huge waste of time. But there's some of the events, like running in a straight line, you think that's alright, I work that out. Or jumping into a big sandpit. You think, okay, I can live with that. And then someone must have thought, Why, they're getting pretty good at jumping in the sandpit. Gonna have to spice this up a little bit. Right, gather around everyone, a new plan. You know the bit when you run up and then jump into the sandpit? Oh yeah, we like that one. Right, well, I'm changing that. What I'm doing now is you run up and then you do a hop. A hop? What the fuck? What is this, primary school? Wait for it, there's more. Then you do a skip. It is, you got this from the primary school, haven't you? And then the grand finale is the jump into the sandpit. Why? Why are we doing the hop and the skip and the jump? What's the point in all that? It's I make the rules and that's how it goes, okay? And you can stop laughing, people running 100 metres. I've been thinking about that as well. Now that seems fairly easy and you can do it far too quickly. I'm going to make it last a bit longer and we're going to put hurdles every 10 metres. What the fuck are you doing that for? God. Right, and all those losers who can't actually run fast or anything like that, you are just going to throw these cannonballs, just throw them onto the grass, and some big heavy frisbees and some pointy sticks. Okay? Right, off you go then.
The elephant says, here's a news nugget.
Now, you know that, obviously, to win gold medals, we need to invent some more sports. And I saw one on the BBC website, Olympic Dreams, the GB wheelchair rugby. Now, you're thinking, wheelchair rugby? How exactly do you tackle each other whilst in wheelchairs and without being able to move our legs? Good question. Of course, it starts off confusingly, the fact it's played with a football rather than a rugby ball. It's just, they're just making it up any way they want here. They said the sport was once called murder ball. I mean, it must be tricky for wheelchair people to kill other wheelchair people, isn't it? Wouldn't really get that close enough to, you know, deal the killer blow. They might better trap their fingers in the wheels or something. That's pretty painful. But you play eight in a team. How do you even score a try? It's just ridiculous. But what I like about it is we'll invent that sport. No one else have a bloody team. Gold medal for us. That's the way forward. England need to invent lots of weird sports. Mainly if they cost a lot of money to enter, that's good. That gets rid of a load of countries. If they're really obscure and no one plays them, like sailing and cycling, get them in. We'll clean up. That's the way forward. Make some more sports. Don't tell anyone about it until, you know, about 6 months before the Olympics. Bosh. Gold, gold, gold. Do it now.
Killer clowns from outer space. Holy shit.
Well, that isn't as funny as this.
Here's one thing they don't tend not to cover too much in the media, is that in the Olympic Village, they go through condoms like it's going out of fucking fashion. And what you've got, really, is loads of people in their peak physically, and they put them all together in one village. I have to admit, I would not like to live in that village. Christ, any burglars, you wouldn't just stand a chance, would you? If you manage to get away from the sprinters, which is unlikely, then they'll just send the long-distance runners after you. You're buggered. You just feel like a real loser there. Everyone is fucking brilliant at something, and there's you. Right, football. But then how would you compete playing football against these people who can just fucking sprint like there's no tomorrow? You know, they can jump higher, longer. Terrible, I'd never live there. But yes, you get all these athletes, they, you know, they've been training hard for 4 years, they want to relax, they've done their bit, so they're just fucking, that's it, fucking, boozing and just having a whale of a time. Sprinting through packs of condoms they are. I know what you're thinking though, what about the larger ladies who, effortlessly throw those discuses, you know, shot puts, javelins. How do they get any of the action going on? I'll tell you how. If one of those ladies wants you, they will bloody have you. And there's nothing you can do about it. They're just too big for you to escape from. They will get you. And if you did run away, oh, what's this? A lighter version of the shot put, a melon maybe. 17 metres, bosh, you're bonked on the head. Drags you back to the little cave she lives in. If you're an Olympic sprinter, this is where you've got to use your speed, get in there, quick, sharp, a mega route and then out again.
Scream if you want the comedy to go faster. 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 Faster.
Hello readers, it's Gary Barlow here. I've been watching the Olympics. Oh, I tell you, when you see those five rings of the Olympics, it makes you think of donuts. Mmm, and they're my favourites. I'll tell you another thing. That Williams, he ain't bloody won nothing. He's won nout, because he's crap. The only thing he'd win from me would be worst single ever. And he was crap at dancing. I was always a better dancer. I'll tell you that. And where are you now, Williams? Nowhere. Eating some pies, you fat monkey-faced bastard. Eh? You'll never be an Olympic athlete. Not like Take That. If Take That were an Olympic athlete, we'd be a swimmer. And we'd win lots of golds in lots of different events because we've got different skills. Whereas Robbie Williams, he'd be like Jeff Capes. He's big, fat and rubbish.
On the other side of the screen, it all looks so easy. On the other side of the screen, it all looks so easy.
On the other side of the screen, it all looks so easy.
On the other side of the screen,
Gentlemen, this is
the Hoskinator.
He's a multi-capable masterpiece. He can squeeze the colour from a ruby or deftly pluck the eye from a living bird. And he's been programmed to enjoy what he does.
Personal bests. With the Olympics, I like the idea there's all these people walking around with a PB. They all know their personal best at something, you know. They'll be running in a straight line for 100 metres. They know their PB. No, they just have that knowledge, and lots of them all have their knowledge about something. A couple of months ago, this bloke goes, what's your time for the 100 metres? I was like, no fucking idea. You would have said, what's yours? Well, obviously he knew what his best time was, and he was wanting to beat it. So the thing about PBs, they all know the PB also against the world's best, you know. And to be honest, there's not really many things I want to be comparing myself to the best in the world. In fact, not only that, it's the best in the world that's ever been at something, to be honest. You know, it's probably just going to depress me. I'd rather maybe just compare to a small group of friends, not too big, because once again you could be falling down the order. We should have PBs on different things, you know, like girls pulled in a month, you know, pints drunk in one sitting. How long a sitting is obviously is open to debate. Maybe we'd have to formalise it somehow. Things like longest fart. I mean, I would quite like to know my longest fart. And then every time you did it, you'd be thinking, this could be a new PB. And then when your mates did one, and he broke his personal best for farting, you'd go, yes, high fives. You've achieved something today, sir. Nice piece of long flatulence. Be proud of that. So anyway, get yourself a PB today, a little personal best, and then break it. Come on, push yourselves to the limit of humankind. Choose something innocuous, like number of cups of tea in one day. And then, just because you're starting off today, it'll be a personal best. And you'll go, yes, personal best today, everyone. Most cups of tea drunk in one day by me. Thank you very much.
Leroy Jenkins!
Would like this comedy next.
See how the BBC have handled Nipplegate? They've silenced Sharon Davies' nipples, causing any more outrage. Bloody big nippled woman. Yeah, I mean, that's just a bit petty. Why are they complaining about her nipples? Surely everyone can appreciate a nice nipple. You know, if anything, it's a bit of entertainment. In front of, and another failure of one of the British athletes. So, you know, I think she's doing her best to liven it up a bit and take our mind off, you know, all the people not winning any medal. And the only way she knows how. And that's getting her nips to be very pointy under loose clothing so we can appreciate their form and perkiness. You know, a nipple doesn't hurt anyone. Well, unless you got one in the eye, but that's unlikely to happen. I just think later on in life, all those little horny teenagers who had their sexual awakening to Sharon Davies' nipples, they'll have to form a little club later on in life, the Sharon Davies Nipple Appreciation Society. I myself am a member of the society, and I'm proud of her good work she's doing in the community. In fact, you know, I would go as far as to say she should be up for an OBE or whatever bloody things they give to people for not much. You know, but getting your nipples pointing out, I mean, maybe those. This is a cynical plot from her. She saw Dimmock of Charlie Garden Variety. She saw all the attention she was getting with her use of the nipples in the garden arena and thought, I might get a bit of action myself. It's funny, really, our society's views of nipples. You know, with women, it's all thumbs up, nipples ahoy, ding, bing, bang, bong. We love the nipple. On blokes, fairly discarded, seen as a bit of an embarrassment, and, you know, mainly a bit of a nuisance, a menace to society, especially for many blokes. Nipple rash, sometimes they get pointy, and we don't know why, and people insinuate that we have somehow got aroused, because our nipples have poked their heads up, and are having a look about. Obviously, you know, I'm a fan of the nipple. I'm not saying we should ban nipples and just go around with some scissors and cut them all off or anything. I'm not advocating that. But just imagine all the time humans, males especially I think, have wasted looking at nipples. Not only looking though, that many hours have been spent just trying to find them. A glimpse of a nipple has been a goal of many male humans for a long time. I'm sure papers like The Sun have a person dedicated solely to trying to find shots of celebrities showing their nipples. If only maybe we could have spent that, investing that time in something more useful. You know, like perhaps inventing some kind of pill that made your spunk taste like chocolate. How bad? Be fucking good. I wouldn't really mind, or anyone else. You've got me wrong here. Whoa, step back. So that it would encourage women suckle on the chocolate dispenser, so to speak. This is a subject, but not really related. I always feel a bit sad for some of the Olympic athletes, the losers, the ones that, you know, we forget really that it's a fantastic achievement to get to the Olympics. You know, you're one of the best at this discipline in the world. And, you know, they got a race against the whole population of their country. That in itself is quite a bloody effort, let me tell you. I've not ever done it, but I just raced against, you know, my whole school, and that was fairly tiring. But they have raced and bested the whole of their country. They must be feeling pretty good about themselves. Yes, sir, I'm one skilled, motherfucking fast, or good athlete. Yes. And then they go, oh, are you? Oh, you've done well there. Everybody starts off like, little county, yep, well done. As a reward, now you can race against everyone, you know, in England, we'll say. You're like, whew, okay then. You beat them. Like, yes, I'm bloody king of England, I am. Okay, well, that's good. Don't get carried away, though. We'll set up a little race meeting. Oh yeah? Yeah, you can race against the whole world. Best ones from all countries. Even the ones miles bigger than ours. Fuck. Oh, that's a bit of a bugger. My run of success may come to an end now. Come on, chin up. You'll be all right. You know, and they go to these events, but they're just never going to win. You know, they're never going to beat the bloody fast American or whatever. And it's not ever going to happen. And they have to go through the motions and run in some heat. But they're just not anywhere near the winning. It must be, you must think, oh, it's a bit of a shit, isn't it? I'm used to winning all the time. I'm just I'm crap here against the whole world. God, whose idea is this? It's bloody... We should stick to our own little patch, you know? We're on a race against these fucking Americans. They're all on drugs anyway. I haven't got a bloody chance. It's not fair. I'm going home. Oh, why not? I get a free holiday. Fuck it, I'm in. Let's go. You watch the little smile on my face as I come in seventh. Woo! Top deck. Placebo effect. One top deck. You're like, whoa, I am smashed. Woo! Also, in the Olympics, there's always a few people cheating, doing some drugs to get to win. Not playing by the rules. I mean, it always seems to come as a bit of a shock. But just fucking look at them. Look, they've got muscles popping out of their arse. You know, a couple of years ago, that was the little skinny boy, the back of the class. Now look at him. He looks like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger's little brother. And there's they usually the sprinters, as they get on the line, they're looking fucking mental. No, that's a giveaway. And we always remember when Diego Maradona got caught. That's all the whole fucking line of those sprinters are doing that. With the crazy eyes. Of course, the other thing about the Olympics is that, you know, it's not that nice. You see all these grown men just dressed in lycra, you know, with these big knobs hanging about. Yes, that's not what you want to be showing and encouraging kids to watch, is it? Really? Look at them. There's not leaving much to the imagination with those fellas, is there? Of course, I only really complain because the women have got a lot to look at there. The blokes, well, there's hardly any that you'd want to have an Olympic-sized session with. Half the women are these great big huge units who look like bloody gargoyles at a whack with a big ugly stick. And then the rest of them, well, they're all so bloody fit is that they've got no womanly features to them. There's no breasts, no bums. It's like watching a load of sexless robots running up and down, you know? It's not what... You know, if they looked a bit... Well, I mean, I know big jugs are not really conducive to breaking Olympic records for speed running, but, you know, they do look nice, and so you're watching, and there's no real, you know, joy for the blokes watching these whippets running around, and that's something they could work on. First, my brother has a cleft chin. The fuck's a cleft chin? Is it one of those bum Steve Davis bum chins? I just thought you got that through over-usage of the snooker cue on chin area. Another funny thing about the Olympics is all the different sports, and I think there must always be on school holidays. You'd sit and watch these random things, you know, like all the track and field events fairly alright, but then you have like things like judo with nippons and what have you, getting points for stuff, and weightlifting, the clean and jerk. if they can give something a rude name, then the weightlifting category will just wade in there and do it. You've got the clean and jerk, the snatch, you know, the fanny twist, the bell end lift, all that stuff. I know those last two up, right, but... Then you watch all these things and you kind of start to know the rules. And like cycling, when they're just going round and round in a circle. And they're kind of chasing each other for some weird reason. You kind of start to know the rules and how it's working. And the curling and all these daft things. And you kind of work it out. What it reminds me, actually, what the Olympics reminds me of is almost looking at like evolution. I'm sure if Charles Darwin watched it, he'd be like going, ah, yes. See the small, these little short fellas lifting big weights, impossibly big weights. That's how they have evolved, you know. And if there's somewhere they would live in a world, part of the world where somewhere lifting a huge weight and being small would help you thrive and survive better than the other shaped people and the weightlifters, and the shot putters, and the sprinters, you know, like the cheaters, etc., pole vaulters. I imagine that these could live in all parts of the world where these, like, pole vaulting might be useful to make you more efficient at catching food than the other people without a big long stick. Anybody with a javelin, you could actually work out that might be useful, but all those people with guns and bows and arrows, of course. That's it, really. The Olympics is just evolution.
Where did that accent come from?
Yes, indeed, sir.
You fucking
fuck! Get the fuck!
Stop making me insult you. It's just like...
Stop forcing my hand.
Honestly.
Stop fucking forcing my
God.
Hand.
And here is... Are the muck-ups.
And then... Yeah, I saw a mother.
What?
You're like, I haven't got a clue. Girls in the street started giving me the big eye. Unusual to hear where they started, and then what they finish on. Make your weapon esteemed. Yeah, brilliant. My rod is so big that it can be shared among five mouths. Oh, yes. Share it. Share the wealth. Yeah, brilliant. Oh, Lordy B. Right, that's over. So.